live from Vancouver, UBC, on the unceded territory of the Coast Salish, Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Or just flop out under... Slow down. You're not in a race. Alcohol-related deaths are one of the leading preventable causes of death in Canada. Please remember to drink responsibly.
Hello, welcome to Word on the Street. You are listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory in Vancouver on UBC campus. It's kind of a loosely Halloween-based show today, and I say that because our first couple of components are, and then they aren't, and then we wrap up with some more Halloween stuff. So let me get it started with some real quick intros. Who's here today in the booth?
Hello, it's Isia again.
Zubin.
And Bryden.
And then I am Killian, and we just had two new people walk in.
Yo, what's up? It's Eric. It's Eric, and we got a new member to the collective.
Hi, I'm Isabella.
All right, sit down, Isabella. So, we're going to start off nice and simple. What is the best costume you guys have seen on campus today?
I saw a dude dressed up as Bob Ross. He had the afro, he had like a paint palette, and I just saw someone dressed up as the bride from Kill Bill, which was pretty cool.
I saw some dude dressed up as the poop emoji, and I don't know, it suited him well. He was a little round shaped. It was like, I don't know. It was simple but good.
Well, there were three dinosaur guys, and they were all running in class and stuff, so it was really interesting to just see them coordinate.
I saw two guys dressed up as LMFAO, and it was great because it threw me right back to whenever that song came out.
Middle school.
Apparently in one of their classes I saw a video, they actually brought out the boombox and they played it live for like the whole class, and they just started jumping around and everything. My best costume I saw today was my Comm 101 teacher dressed up as a banana and then didn't explain it, and it was awesome.
I also saw this dude who put like a carpet on his skateboard, and he was like riding around, so it looked like a magic carpet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very impressive.
Was it like a motorized skateboard?
I have no clue. I actually saw my friend send me a Snapchat video of it.
Huh. Oh, that's cool as hell. All right. First topic of discussion today, we've got Halloween music, and then good point. Second point to that is, why is there no Halloween music? There's Halloween music by Halloween artists, and then there's basically no scary music or Halloween music from established artists. And why do you guys think that is?
I think maybe just because, like, when you think of Halloween, you just think of, like, scary things, so it's not as broad, I guess, in topic. Like, if you think of Christmas music, there's Christmas songs about, like, love and, like, kids like being obedient and stuff like that, but Halloween, I don't know, you don't really associate it with like Halloween romance, so I don't know, it would just be songs about like ghosts.
You think it's like hard to relate to?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think pop music relies, like as you were saying, on like broad genres and themes like of topics that can be applied to like most people, and so like I guess it's just harder for a lot of pop artists to just be pretty like, besides like Michael Jackson's like famous Thriller, like what other huge hit like that can you think of?
I think that's a good example though, is that
it works.
Maybe
really well.
Artists like, are scared of it, but maybe, it can go really well, like Thriller. Yeah.
It has to be like super iconic though. To last.
Oh, that's like the most iconic song.
Yeah. But we don't even need Halloween music as long as the Goosebumps theme song exists. We can just listen
true,
to that like
that's
constantly.
True. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of like, I feel like the soundtrack music tends to work well as well. Like it's always there. Stuff like, we were talking about this earlier, the Scream theme song, or like the all that iconic Halloween music that you hear, like the Halloween theme song. It just has a way of like invading the soundtracks surrounding the weeks before and after Halloween. And then like I've heard probably today, I've heard Monster Mass at least like seven times. Just because that's the Halloween song. Yeah. All right, cool. Jumping off of that, we got some local events coming up. Some are Halloween themed and some aren't. I see. You got any?
So tonight we have Shindig going on as usual, which is CITR's hosted Battle of the Bands. It's actually hosted by our very own music department director, Andy. So that's super cool. I know tomorrow night we have Callie Uchis playing, which is cool. She's like a poppy indie R&B musician who's really cool. We also have, at some point in this week, King Krul is coming back this Sunday, which I'm super excited about because I'm going to that show, and he's been gone for too long, so I'm pumped. On the 3rd, sorry, I'm just jumping back and forth, but on the 3rd we have Black, or Six Lack, pronounced Black, playing at the Commodore Ballroom, and we also have Blank Mass playing, as I mentioned, King Krul, like, later on in the week. So yeah, those
awesome.
Are the events.
All right, and then recently, oh no, we'll get to that later. Peach Pit's our big closer. So for right now, we've got a couple of live bands who either played here yesterday or are playing here in the future, and we want to let you know what's going on and when they're playing here. First off, Phone a Pony is a two-piece musical outfit from Vancouver, British Columbia. They played here yesterday, and apparently it was awesome. They're described on their website as like this indie strange thing, but that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. They consider themselves to be influenced by rock, punk, pop, alternative, so that's like a little bit of something for everybody, so you should for sure give them a chance. Now, just to get you introduced to them, we have a song called Vacant off their EP Death by Blowfish. And we're back. All right, that was Vacant off of the EP Death by Blowfish. That once again being by Phonopony, however you want to say it. They are playing tomorrow for the Night of the Living Dead at the Roxy Cabaret. It starts at 8 if you're down to hear more of what you just heard. Next off, we've got Mark Mills. He played here yesterday. He's from my hometown of Calgary, and he's been described as a burning torch of furious love. And so if that doesn't make you want to listen in, then I don't know what will. Here's his song called Silver Fox off the album 1.6.16.
Talking about then I got some rhymes. I'll go singing from town to town, and you're the wizard that protects the sound.
All right, that was Silver Fox off the album 1.6.16 by Mark Mills. And we're going to real quick kick it to a PSA, but don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
CITR and Disorders Shindig is back for the 34th year and is hosted at Hastings Mill Brewing Company, formerly known as Pat's Pub, every Tuesday night.
We've curated a spicy roster of local musicians, and there are 27 bands, 27 winners, but someone has to take home the Shindig Windig crown from last year's champ, Little Sprout.
Come watch bands jam out, have fun, and battle it out for some rad prizes provided by our sponsors.
Sarah Fox Postering,
Nimbus Recording, Cannery Brewery,
Pandora's Box,
Vader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders,
Mint Records,
Music Waste, Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell,
Sixth Cent Press,
Blue Light Studios, Hastings Mill Brewery,
Print Print.
Come out this Tuesday, October 31st for extra spooky performances by Board Decor, The Maneuver, and Laverne.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
All right, awesome, and we're back. Right now, we got one more artist to talk to you guys about. She is playing here tomorrow on Thursday. Wait, no, she's not playing here tomorrow. She's playing here on November 2nd from 12 to 1 p.m. She is an awesome local artist named Aura Kogan, who is just about to release a new album called Crickets. And here is a song called Ruler of My Heart off of her album, Shadowland.
Driver of my soul, where can you be? I wait patiently. My heart cries.
That, once again, was Ruler of My Heart off the album Shadowland by Aura Kogan. She's playing here Thursday, November 2nd, and then if she's having a record release show at the Redgate Revue stage, if you want to check it out, that starts at 8, and that's on Thursday as well. Moving into our next topic, we've got Halloween soundtracks and scores. I know, Zubin, you brought this topic up, and I was super excited.
Well, personally, I'm not a huge horror movie fan, but I did like Get Out a lot, which I guess isn't like super horror movie, but like it definitely has a lot of horror elements. And particularly what I liked is how Jordan Peele used Childish Gambino's song, which everybody would know, Redbone. And I think, you know, like a song that you wouldn't initially associate with horror movies or like scariness or whatever. But like actually some of the lyrics do have some kind of like connotations that fit well once you give it the context of the movie.
Yeah, Zubin, I actually totally have to agree with you. I think that the power of music soundtracks and horror movie soundtracks to me is that the second you watch that movie and you hear that song in that place, the song itself doesn't have to be scary, but you'll forever associate it with that scary moment.
Yeah, in my film studies class, we watched Blue Velvet a couple of weeks ago, which isn't a horror film, but it's very creepy and like very disturbing, and like the name of the movie, they play the song Blue Velvet, which existed before the movie was made, but now I can only associate it with that film, and it's like super creepy. And going back to what you said about Redbone, what like one thing I thought that was super cool about his choice to use that in Get Out was that like he was trying to go for a very like an older film, like horror film vibe, and like more 70s, and like the sounds of that song are like older, so it like fit with the movie in that way, but not in like the typical like spooky synthy like music that we'd usually associate with scary or Halloween or anything like that.
Yeah, it's definitely groovier.
I think context is really can make anything scary. Like think of nursery rhymes, which can be either the most innocent thing or the most terrifying thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Depending on, you know, whether it's daytime or nighttime.
Yeah. I think the reverse is also true. Like some songs that are kinda melancholy or sad can be like kinda happy when they're shown in that context of like a happier show. Mm-hmm. So, okay, one thing for you guys. Do you guys watch Stranger Things?
Of course.
Yeah, all right, nice. So,
second season, don't spoil anything.
No, I won't spoil it because I'm not done it either, but I'm on my way. One thing I was going to go over with you guys is, do you think that soundtrack is as instrumental as it is because of the power of the songs or because it's just made with the show? Do you think it's by association or do you think it's by merit?
I think it's hard to say. Like, I've heard like the songs out of context and like covers of this like the theme song on like cellos and stuff like that, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome, but I don't know if that's awesome just because I love Stranger Things and I just associated with that, or it's just like a great composition. But I think in this case it's just a case of both, and they like make each other stronger and better.
Yeah, I think stronger and better is a good point, just because it also is got the same like Halloween movie effect going for it, but at the same time it's 80s music, and so it's got like the double like punch of being Halloween scary music and at the same time being 80s nostalgic music, and so it tends to appeal to the emotions a bit more. Zubin, yeah. You got any opinion on Stranger Things?
I think the opening theme is really strong. Like, I love that, like, the theme music. Like, it always, like, puts you in the mood for an episode. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I guess there's so many other strong aspects of the show that, like, the music doesn't necessarily stand out so much.
Mm-hmm. And so jumping off of that, do you guys feel like you have any favorite Halloween scores? Like, is there a song or score you have to listen to in the Halloween season?
I do not watch a lot of horror movies because I can't deal with them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Hard enough.
All right. Well, the thing with Halloween scores, though, is that there's literally so many of them. Like, I went to go see Jigsaw because a friend dragged me into it the other day. That is totally not my kind of movie. And one thing I was shocked about is one of the songs stood out to me, and I wondered where I'd seen it before. And then I Googled it, and it was called, like, Zepp's Theme or something. And I was looking into that, and it was, like, a throwaway song that they put in the first Saw movie for, like, the big twist reveal. And it's been in every single Saw movie since. And there's 34 variations of it. And so they've rewritten and remastered and reblasted this song like a million times to 34 different variations. And I didn't realize that I knew it until I saw the movie. And I realized I'd heard it in a million different ways. And so when you guys are listening to Halloween songs, is there one you hear all the time everywhere, like on the airwaves without even realizing it?
Well, it's not a song. It's more of like a sound effect. But you know the like the violin screeching.
Oh yeah, like the psycho
Carrie,
ones, yeah.
Dude, like, sorry, that was awful imitation. But, like, I know, I just saw it in Carrie, like, originally, and I feel like that's been used, like, overused so much, and, like, it's a good effect.
Oh, it's so iconic,
Very
though.
Jarring, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember in elementary school, we always had this, during Halloween especially, we always would play videos of Michael Jackson's Thriller? Yeah, Thriller. And I think at some point they even tried to make us learn how to dance to it.
That's a good dance.
Yeah, but you know, you just see a bunch of kids like running around.
Yeah. And so that's your Everywhere Halloween song? I feel like that's a lot of people that are Halloween song. That and Monster Mash, and then One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater are like the big Halloween songs.
I think Monster Mash was played in Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Moving on from Stranger Things, actually, one thing that they do in Stranger Things that I was kind of interested in is that they have this big Halloween costume party, and a couple people there are dressed up as dead artists. And one thing we were wondering before this show is, Halloween theme, kind of, at what point does the statute of limitations end and it's okay again to dress up as a dead artist, like after they die? Do you guys have an opinion on that or no?
I think it's all about context. Like, I guess in general you should probably wait, at least I think Brian was saying this earlier, you should probably wait at least a year before you dress up. Like, you can't dress up as Gordon Downey yet probably, because that just happened, but no one would be offended if you dressed up as Michael Jackson, like, because that happened a couple of years ago. And yeah.
Yeah. So you think there's just a time and a place?
I mean, like, I think celebrities are pretty open to being, like, mocked. Well, I don't know if they're personally, but, like, in our society, we're very cool with, like, mocking and making fun of celebrities in general. So, like, I think, like, yeah, I mean, sure, certainly there's, like, a short time period where you can't, but I think a lot of things are open to being...
Yeah.
And I guess every Halloween costume doesn't have to be necessarily offensive to the dead person. You can just be dressing up as them.
Yeah. My thinking is, wait a year, because it's like the thought behind it. If the only reason you're doing it is for shock value because it's really recent and topical, then, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing it. But if the thought of doing it next year for Halloween is still reasonable, then you're actually, it's because, you know, the artist is so iconic and so
good costume, hopefully.
You know, yeah, I've also seen, like, I don't know, like, if you know Princess Nokia, she's, like, this rapper from New York, and recently she had this incident on, like, a train where she threw hot soup on this guy because he was being, like, super racist, and there was, like, a meme that was, like, iconic costume duo, like, Princess Nokia and then, like, soup, and she, like, went on this whole rant on Instagram about how, like, her experience wasn't a costume and how it was, like, very traumatic for her and how she, like, doesn't appreciate people making it into a joke. So I think it's kind of like a personal thing for some people. Like, it kind of depends.
Jumping off of that, I think Isabella has a point. She's got a list of, like, the hottest costumes this year and maybe some reasons as to why they're the hottest costumes this year.
Oh, well, from the newspaper that I get every morning near the bus loop, the 24 Hours has the spookiest outfits for 2017, and there's a lot of not quite dead people who are very popularly, I guess, emulated. So, you know, Donald Trump.
Of course.
Yes. And Wonder Woman, Obama. There's quite a lot of famous characters, people who are being... Yeah. Used as Halloween costumes.
Well, this year's got a lot of big names you can emulate. I think it's a big year for horror as well. Like, when you think about it, it's like Get Out and It, some of the two most highest grossing horror movies of all time, came out like this year. Yeah, I've seen so many clowns on campus.
I'm surprised that the scary clown thing didn't come back from a couple years ago.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah.
I remember, it's like, I don't know where the hell that came from, but like that was a thing for a while.
Wasn't that whole thing just like a viral marketing campaign for It?
Was it?
Yeah. I think it might have been.
But like what, like 2 or 3 years in advance? Because when was that? That was, I mean, maybe it was.
But I think that ties into like we tend to notice things that are scarier, like just more so than any other thing, and so that's why I think music, especially music in horror movies, tends to stick with us harder than anything.
True. Yeah. As a side note, I saw that LeBron James dressed up as like It, and can you imagine seeing us like however tall he is, like 6'5 or whatever, a 6'5 clown?
Didn't Steph Curry go as the guy from Jigsaw?
That's awful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't support
terrifying.
That.
Yeah. Jumping off from that, we recently had a member in our booth go to Peach Pit. And I think it's time for her to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I went to a Peach Bits Halloween show last Thursday. It was in a Russian like community center, which was interesting, and like the main stage that they played on felt very much like a high school gym. So it was like an interesting vibe, and everyone was dressed up, and there was like a lot of cool costumes. I saw a lot of people like as characters from Kill Bill, which is great because that's one of my favorite movies, and there was like a lot of cool bands that played. I didn't get to see all of them, but one of the bands I did see was SBDC, which is like a four-piece punk band that is from Vancouver, and they all dressed up as angels, and they were super fun, and their music was like really upbeat and like short songs as punk songs are, and they were really fun. I saw this other band, Frogpile, who are also from Vancouver, I believe, and they describe themselves as determined to take you on a world guitar ride, which is super interesting, but kind of accurate to what they did. Like, their sounds kind of, they're very different from each other, and they're all dressed up as the Trailer Park Boys, and it was like, it was interesting, it was cool, and of course Peach Pit was great. Their costumes weren't like coordinated, so that's like my like little criticism, but they were still good, and yeah, it was just a really fun show.
And so was Peach Pit, like, was it split up into multiple stages, or was it just the one big stage with rotating artists?
There was like the main stage, and then there was like a basement stage, so like as there would be one at a time though, so like the break on the top stage, like there'd be a show playing at the bottom. And there's one thing about Peach Pit that I find super interesting is I was reading this in a newspaper, I don't remember which one, but they actually competed in the CITR Battle of the Bands like a couple of years ago, and one of the criticisms they got was like that they were being so normal. Even that's like weird phrasing, but that was right, like yeah, criticism they got, and that's actually what they called latest album because of that criticism. Because they're like, we don't have to be like super weird and out there. We can just be our like regular selves. So I thought that was cool.
That's awesome. What was your favorite band you saw at that show?
I mean, I went for Peach Pit, but like Frogpile was super cool. I liked them a lot.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And then finally, we got one last topic before we jump over to some ads here. I was wondering, and I think a few of us were wondering, if you could think of one artist that you could have come back as a zombie for Halloween, who would it be and why? I mean, I'm just going to throw my answer right out there because it's obvious, and that is Michael Jackson. And now you guys can't take it because I stole it, and go ahead.
Jeff Buckley. I love Jeff Buckley. He's amazing. Grace is a great album. I don't know. That'd be, like, funny to see a zombie singing So Real because that's, like, a super sad, like, emotional, beautiful song. But I don't care. It's fine. Jeff Buckley. Just him.
I bring back Tupac for sure, just because I'm a big rap fan.
He's
and
not dead.
Yeah,
he's alive somewhere.
Like, all right, okay.
I feel like Lou Reed would make an excellent zombie alongside probably Keith Richards, even though Keith Richards isn't technically dead yet.
Keith Richards would never die.
Isabella's still thinking. We'll have to get back to her later. All right, real quick, we're going to kick it to some PSAs, and then we will be right back.
Stereo sounds strange. You know that if it vibrates, it National Museum's Hastings Park 1942 exhibit marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese-Canadian internment. Visit the exhibit until January 13th to see Japanese Problem, a contemporary performance piece which offers a glimpse into a dark episode of history at the Pianese Livestock Barn. Nikkei National Museum is located in Burnaby and entry is by donation.
Playing your favorite songs for 13 years. The morning what? The morning after whatever you did last night. Live music, local talents, and music you won't hear anywhere else. The Morning After Show, every Tuesday, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
All right, and now we were just talking, and we were thinking about what could we possibly do next. And then I remembered that Isaiah had talked about Blue Velvet, and that basically the overarching theme I'd like to think for the show so far has been how music connects to emotion, connects to scary, connects to feelings. Isaiah, do you want to give us a rundown on Blue Velvet and how that song and that movie are intertwined in your mind?
Well, so I watched Blue Velvet, as I mentioned, in film studies, and it's a super disturbing film. It's directed by David Lynch. He's the same guy who did Twin Peaks, which also has like a super iconic soundtrack, so I guess it's kind of his thing. But it's basically like about a guy who he finds a severed ear in a field, and then he goes to find, like, he goes and gives it to the like sheriff or the police or whatever, but he decides to go and like find out what happened himself, and he like does so with like this friend of his who's a girl who's kind of a love interest. And on the like through this journey, he meets this woman, and it's weird, and like it's very vivid, and there's like a lot of super disturbing like topics in it, like sexual assault and like a lot of violence, and it's very dramatic and like,
well, yeah, that sounds like a David Lynch
movie.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just very like overacted, but like purposefully, you know. And the woman in it, one of the main characters, she's a singer in like a lounge, and the song that she's constantly singing is Blue Velvet, which is just like, topically, the song, I wouldn't say is a creepy song, but just whenever she's singing it, like, again, like, the lighting's super, like, vivid, and, like, she's singing into this crowd, and everyone's, like, staring at her, and, like, you know what she's been through, and it's really messed up, and now I just associate that song with, like, her trauma instead of...
And so do you think if you'd heard the song on its own without seeing the movie, it would have had a different impact on you?
For sure. I'd just be like, oh, this is a song. This is a nice old song. But instead, I'm like, this is creepy. Like, a lot of people left my class, like, watching the movie. They're like, wow. I'm not comfortable watching this, and they left. So, yeah.
All right. So to give people a little insight into what you're talking about, we're going to play the song real quick, and we will be right back. All right, and we're back. And so I thought that kind of gave a little insight into what SEO was talking about, because to me, having not watched Blue Velvet, that sounded kind of fine and not creepy. But I get it, like, I get what she's saying, I guess, and that it, once you've seen it and you've seen it in context, it makes it super scary.
Yep.
Speaking of which, I do want to talk about a song in Halloween that is always going to be associated with Halloween, no matter what. One of the questions I have sitting in front of me here is, did Halloween ruin Thriller, or did Thriller ruin Halloween? What do you guys think?
I would like to argue that nothing is ruined, and both of those things are still great. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever get tired of that song. It's just, it's classic. The music video is classic. It scared me as a kid, but now I appreciate it. Yeah.
Now, I won't argue that the music video isn't classic, and I love the song. It's just in the season of Halloween, it gets so overplayed. I've heard it like 12 times today.
I haven't heard it once.
All right,
you must
be.
Is it as bad as some Christmas music, though? Is it as bad as some Christmas music?
Infinitely worse.
I can see that.
Worse.
I can see that. Like, Christmas music is also cloying
at
the same time.
Yeah, and like Halloween
right?
season isn't stretched as long as like Christmas season.
Yeah, it's like 3 days.
Well, I felt like this Halloween was super long for some reason. I feel like it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess because basically all the Halloween stuff happened on the weekend, right? Because if it's on a Tuesday, you go like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And that's been Halloween like 5 days straight.
True.
What's an appropriate amount of time to have decorations up before a holiday?
Just all year. Okay. Just keep it up. All year. Save time.
I know at my house, Christmas lights don't come down. They're just there. Yeah, it's not worth the hassle.
I grew up in the kind of household that like doesn't decorate and just hides, which I do not like, and I've always yelled at my parents for it. But they're like, yeah, we're just going to turn the lights off. And I'm like, guys, especially if we don't decorate and then we get candy and then no one comes to our door, then I get to eat all of it. So it's like, worked out pretty well.
I always love those houses that go super over the top, and they've got like the giant inflatable Halloween things, and they've got like the haunted house in the basement and everything. Those are the houses that have like the best candy every
I read this article about this family. They had like a fake car crash in front of their house and like a dead body, and it was so bad that like neighbors complained and like called the cops. It was kind of like a big issue. So maybe if you go too over the top and it's too morbid, maybe that's not like the greatest idea, but yeah. I'm all for extreme decorations.
Awesome. Zubin, you got any...
Well, I heard about... talking about, like, decorating houses and stuff. I was listening on CBC earlier today. There's people talking about how, like, in their building in, like, the Olympic Village, they're, like, doing trick-or-treating in, like, their own apartment building and, like, having, like, a door decoration competition and stuff. So it's kind of, like, interesting, like...
That's awesome. We kind of had a smaller version of that program, like in our own res building. Yeah. We had similar, like we decorated doors. Isea came and got candy from my like room because I was handing out candy, and he just went around the building. It was super fun. I gotta say, I think Halloween's like my favorite season.
I feel like I've been deprived of Halloween. I carved my first pumpkin yesterday.
Really?
Or
first
two
time
days
ever.
Ago? Yeah, during the Salish House Halloween events.
And how was it?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was kind of messy. It's just a face. It's nice. Classic. Toothy pumpkin face.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, jumping off of that and Halloween experiences, right as we get towards the tail end of our show here, I was wondering, do you guys have any favorite Halloween songs, Halloween music, anything you love?
Or tie-in question, what music genuinely scares you?
I guess I can go first. My favorite song and the one I insist that we close out the show with today is Monster Mash, because it is straight up one of my favorite Halloween songs, and it cannot be beat, and it's so groovy, and it's awesome. Have you got anything like that where you hear it for the season and you just go, hell yeah, it's Monster Mash, or anything like that?
It probably like is Monster Mash. Like I feel like that's the universal, just the greatest song.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be topped.
Yeah, Zubin, you were saying it was in Stranger Things, and I am down for Monster Mash in Stranger Things.
Well, not so much as songs, but just the instrumentals, basically. So, I guess dissonant sounds, and so they're not like very famous. But then, like you just hear them with the horror movies that we talked about in this whole show, and like as soon as you hear them, you just turn off the sound and turn it on mute.
Mm-hmm. I know Bryden, of course, being my roommate and the DJ, has been listening to a lot of scary stuff lately, he's been telling me. And I think the biggest thing you've been listening to lately that scared you was, like, Trout Mask Replica. Do you want to tell us about why that's scary to you?
All right. That's one that, in particular, it's scary because it's not really like anything else. And I think that's a part of why, to kind of tie it all together. That's why there isn't a lot of popular Halloween music, because music that is scary is foreign and almost unpleasant to listen to, right? And that kind of avant-garde stuff, it's never going to be popular, but it's still really interesting and, I guess, kind of valuable to listen to it, just so that you know what can happen if, you know, something goes terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. All right, and now I think we're going to kick it over to my favorite song of the season, Monster Mash.
Monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They made the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash.
Yes, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash good.
Monster mash.
And we're back with one topic that I am, just to be clear, actually fired up about. Zubin just told me that in Vancouver, now keep in mind I'm from Calgary, Brian's from Calgary, I see he's from Toronto, kind of Mississauga. I'm sorry.
Excuse you.
I had no idea that you guys do fireworks on Halloween, and to me that's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, oh, I don't know, as a kid growing up, like, it was just a really normal part of it. I mean, like, when I was younger, I wasn't really into it, and then, like, there was that brief period in high school where I was, like, of course, like, going out with my friends and, like, that was the thing every Halloween. You were just, like, blowing up little things. I mean, my younger brother, he's, like, 16. That's what he's doing today. Like, but, yeah, I mean, like, I know that, like, the cities around Vancouver started putting, like, bylaws against it. And, like, I can totally see why it's kind of a nuisance. But, yeah, it's interesting that it's such an isolated tradition that I only really knew was that way a couple years ago.
And so they've been doing it for, like, as long as you can remember.
Yeah, definitely my whole childhood.
Isabella, as long as you know?
Well, I actually only realized, like, around this year or last year, but then I do remember seeing stores that only open around Halloween, yeah, that sell, like, sparklers, yeah, or fireworks, so
yeah, if you leave campus you'll see all the fireworks signs everywhere. Yeah, definitely. Like any
I've
little
never heard of that
store.
Before
yeah.
Fireworks on Halloween. And do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think it's a fun thing when you're 14 like, and you're an idiot and you have like Roman candles and stuff. But like yeah, I mean if I was like a parent like of a young children, I would definitely hate it. Like I can definitely understand. There's like a lot of reasonable reasons to not be a big fan of fireworks. But yeah, I mean, like, otherwise, I mean, I think the fact they pollute a lot kind of sucks too, but like.
Yeah. Still, though, it sounds like a neat tradition.
Yeah, they're like fun. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. They're fun.
I feel like that's the weird thing about like different cities that you never really realize that there's these tiny little cultural differences.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
When somebody points it out, you're like, that's actually so weird.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, I think fireworks on Halloween is so weird. Like,
I mean,
I've never even heard
you can
that
try
before.
It. Just go.
Yeah, I might have to try it. I got to figure out what all the hype's about.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool. You guys have any closing notes before we get out of here? Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I see you. Go for it. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I was just going to say shout out to the guy with the skateboard carpet.
Oh, that was the coolest costume I've
seen
for sure. I'm going to give a shout out to Hayden at home because I know he's listening because he's texting me telling me he's listening. And he's the one who told me to ask Ryan about Trout Mask Replica. Yeah, shout out. Okay, we're first of all, real quick, shout out to the Ukulele Club on floor 2 of Humblesome because they're killing it and they're putting in so much work. And Ben, I want you to hear this and know that I'm shouting you out and that you earned this. And real quick, before we head out, I'm going to introduce the next show. It is called Flex Your Head. It is a loud punk metal show and it's bands and guests from around the world showing up. Good time. All right, and with that, we are out. Thanks again, guys.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Peace out.
Have a good Halloween night.
They say there are strangers who threaten us, our immigrants and infidels. They say there is strangeness to danger us in our theaters and bookstore shelves. Those who know what's best for us must rise and save us from ourselves.
There's something shifting in the distance. Don't know what it is. Days as dead as night, except for that feeling that's growing up inside of me as you sing your song, as you swing along and your, it's your song. It's the devil in makes me stare at you as you twist up along, you sing your song and you're slithering up to me and you're so close. I just wanna touch you and sing your song and you don't know what's going on, but you wanna me to come along as you sing your song and you're fucking with me. Yes, you slither into me. Your lips are slipping, twisting at my insides and sing along. You're just a swinging man, isn't your swinging song? And now I don't know what you want, but you're looking at me and you're falling on the ground and you're twisting around.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues?
Are you down with decolonization?
Do you have something to say?
Or have a topic to share?
We have just the thing.
Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective.
We're a team of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people.
I'm Niska from my mother.
From the Tahltan Territory.
I'm a settler from Washington.